T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're just getting close. We're inching a little bit closer to the weekend. That'll be very, very, very chilly. Bring that jacket wherever you go the next few days. Tomorrow, a high of 49. Then it gets to the upper 50s on Saturday, mid-50s on Sunday, right around 50 on Monday. Yikes. Yeah, it's cold right now. It's still chilly willy. I am not a huge fan of the cold. I like the heat more than the cold. But I also like this beautiful temperature where you don't have to turn the furnace on. You can just let the house be itself. I like it better, those low 70s, upper 60s, where you can open the windows, get the breeze in. That's much better. But what I really, really like, keep the windows closed and just enjoy it without any AC or heat going. Anything good happen to you? Is there something you'd like to share?
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
I would like to hear something good. You know, something positive would be nice. And we also keep the phone lines open just in case there's something you want to bring up from the past week. It is Friday after all. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Blues winning tonight. That's a good thing. Man, did they need that. The Blues were all into it. I know they gave up, was it 3 goals tonight? But man, if they can play like that, and it was a nice home win, and they got to play the song and everything, that's something good. I have a really good story I'd like to share with you, and this is something I found over in the Ozark County Times, their website, posting this one up. But again, the positivity could be out there, and it doesn't have to be something this extreme. It could really be anything. 314-436-7900 is the phone number. Davin and Casey Friend, their last name is Friend, their husband and wife, Davin and Casey. They were headed to what I think was like a chili cook-off or something. Oh, a church annual fish fry, which was held this year on Saturday. Various jobs around the house delayed their departure. Now, they are also associated, like Devin is the head of the Gainesville to Salem General Baptist Church. That's in OC. And part of this is that if they weren't late, if they weren't working on things around the house, this outcome could have been very different. As they were driving in the afternoon, a little bit late to the fish fry, they saw something. There was a boat out on the water, drifting loose, and it had its bumpers out, he said. And the wife mentioned, hey, you know, it looks like the Jeep is backed into the water. Somebody lost their boat. It doesn't look right. It was out of the ordinary. It doesn't look right. So they paid a little bit closer attention. And then they spotted someone out in the water. Said, I could see his blue shirt on, and I thought it was a life jacket. So they kind of slowed down, and all of a sudden, his wife said, Davin, he just went under. They did a U-turn and went back. The couple had their youngest son with them, 5 years old. Left the 5-year-old in the car, and the two jumped out quickly. He started to take off his clothes because he knew there was going to be a water rescue going on. He said he didn't want to jump in the water with his shoes on, knowing that you wouldn't really be able to be effective or swim because of that. It took him a little longer to see what was going on. Now, keep in mind, before he stripped down, he was yelling and screaming, are you okay? Are you okay? And the guy yelled, help me, I'm drowning. That's when Davin couldn't wait any longer and went in. Michael is the man in the water. He spent his day on that lake, the Bull Shoals Lake, himself fishing, and the wind started blowing and started floating a little bit faster as he was outside of the boat at the time, just going for a little swim. said he's not 15 anymore. He said when he was 15, he used to be able to basically swim from one end of the lake to the other, but his arms gave out. He's 66 years old. Couldn't move him anymore. Really, the only thing that he could do was keep his nose above the water, pushing his legs. And it was enough to every once in a while bob up and yell and scream. And it just so happens that this couple, the friends, on their way to the fish fry for their church, happened to drive by just at the right time when he was bobbing up above. And the only reason they saw it was because they were late to this fish fry. So what happened was Davin went out about 50 yards, and by the time he got there, the boat floated plumb in the other side of the cove beside the courtesy dock. When he got beside him, he got under his arm, and he swam across the cove to his boat. The pastor of that church said, "The first thing I asked him when we got into the boat was, 'Are you a believer?' Because we do this every year at my church, and this was divine timing today. The Lord was watching over you, because normally I would have been at the church already." Watching his parents rush, the five-year-old was interested, yelling and screaming. Obviously, the kid, seeing his dad out there in the water and saving someone in distress, that's quite a thing to see. But they got him back, didn't call 911. He said, "I'm feeling all right. I ran out of juice. I couldn't swim anymore. My arms gave out. If it wasn't for you." So the person that was drowning, his name's Michael, called the Times on Monday to share a story of how Davin and Casey saved their life with divine timing. It's pretty great, isn't it? He gets to live another day. Now that is something good. It's amazing how that works out. I love this pastor. Absolutely love him. He said, "Are you a believer? Lord's watching over you today. Because normally I would have been at the church already for his annual fish fry." That is amazing. Do you have a good story for you? Anyone, really. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I like to share these things. You know, there's a story that has been going around about Missouri prison guards, and they're caught with beer in hand. The question is, what are they wearing? We'll get on to it next on Overnight America KMOX. I keep things a little more flexible on the Friday, so if there's anything you heard over the past week that you want to bring up, or maybe something that you missed or didn't have a chance to call in on, or whatever it is, we do the open lines on the Friday. 314-436-7900. That's the phone number. You can call or text, or 800-925-1120. I do see your text messages, but I do like it when you call in better. So I don't always respond to every text message, but I do get to see them. I also wanted to point out that we do have a podcast. If you don't want to call in, you can always listen to the show in other ways and support it that way. It's an easy way because it's free. So whatever you use for your cell phone, if you have an Android, you can go on to the Google Podcast app or whatever app that comes with it and just search for Overnight America. If you don't know about the app, just download the radio.com app for free, and that way you can listen to Overnight America anytime you want. Or if you're on an iPhone, just go to your iTunes store, the Apple Podcast app, and search for Overnight America. Make sure to subscribe and leave us a nice little message on there. That'd be really nice. I do check the statistics all the time. The goal for this year was trying to get 100,000 downloads for the year. And I knew that at the start of the year, we were on pace for that, but we're on pace for hitting that here real soon. We might even, if we're lucky, we'd have to be really crazy lucky for this to happen, but we might even hit it by the end of this month, which would be awesome. So really, it's a free thing that we do. Our producers put the podcast up, which is our show, broken up between each hour, so you can go and find the things you want to listen to easily. And you can find even a link at KMOX.com. So I had this message to me. Steve on Twitter messaged me about what was going on in Jefferson City. And guards at the Missouri Department of Corrections are crying foul after agency chief, and I'm getting this version of the story from the Post-Dispatch. So their agency chief was pictured at a golf fundraiser holding a can of Budweiser while wearing a shirt that has the logo of the Department of Corrections. And I'm looking at the photo. It's a weird thing, because I really didn't realize there was this many restrictions when it comes to photographs with alcohol involved. If this is the agency chief, she should have known better. But I think the argument is pretty solid of what she's bringing forward. Now, number one, obviously, it doesn't show her drinking it. It doesn't show her drinking in excess. It also doesn't really do anything other than have the two of them, and she's holding a beer up in her hand, and the person next to her also is smiling, standing next to her. She has something in her hand. I can't quite tell what it is. There's a golf cart behind them, and they're on the golf course. So this was a golf fundraiser. So the photo was posted to the Missouri 1033 Benevolent Fund, and correctional officers would face disciplinary action if pictured doing something in their uniforms and also where alcohol is present. When I saw this, I really didn't think much of it. It did not bother me. But does this bother you? Are you upset about this photo? Beer at a golf outing and the people pictured happened to be part of the Missouri Department of Corrections? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, they do have a defense here, and we're going to get to it. Gary Gross, executive director of the union representing prison employees, said the concerns expressed by the correctional officers are real. So, for example, he said the union was launching an appeal of the disciplinary action against a guard at a maximum security center who was pictured in his uniform with a beer sitting on a nearby coffee table. Now, the key is you can't be in uniform and have alcohol present because, just like anything else, you, even though you're not on the clock, represent the brand or the company you work for because it can come back on them. Same thing happens here on KMOX. Even though I have a personal life, if I go out and get a DUI or something, or it becomes reported on the news, like, here, look at this guy from KMOX. He's in big trouble for doing fill in the blank. And it comes back and reflects negatively on the radio station. I can be disciplined because of that. It's like that pretty much with every industry, right? If you're a teacher, just because you're off the clock doesn't mean you can go out and, I don't know, date students or something like that. Oh, I'm off the clock. I can't be disciplined for it. No, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of situations where you represent the people you work for, and if you can embarrass them and they bring it back to the job you're doing, yeah, you can get in trouble. So I'm on that ground. I understand that, and I agree with that sort of thing. But then you have to wonder, is just holding a beverage in your hand when you're off hours enough to get you disciplined? Which I don't think it should. The question is what she's wearing. If it's the Department of Corrections logo on her shirt, is enough to trigger this. So Gross said that the officer was given in the other example where the person was sitting and there was a beer on a nearby coffee table, even though the person wasn't drinking it, was given the penalty of 3 days off without pay, even though it wasn't the guard's beer. Just because you got to be careful wherever you go if you're in that uniform. You know, who knows? Maybe the guy just got home from work and didn't know, you know, had to go change before something happened. You just snapped a photo before you have a chance to, or whatever it is. Corrections spokeswoman noted that she was not wearing a Department of Corrections uniform. She said that wasn't a uniform. People can buy those shirts themselves, and that's what she did. So she's at an outing wearing not her uniform, but a shirt that shows the Department of Corrections logo on it. So it's not something that if you would show up to work with that sort of thing, and you're wearing it, you'd be out of uniform, right? It's not what would be allowed in the workplace. So I think there can be a distinction. And when you want to find the line could be, are they doing something inappropriate? And just holding a beer at a golf outing is not necessarily doing anything inappropriate. Now, if they're slamming a 40 in a paper bag while driving the golf cart into the lake, that's a whole different story. I think they're coming up too hard on this. I really think they're coming too hard on the guards at the Missouri Department of Corrections, the agency chief, I should say. I really do. But what do you think? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So the director of the agency since 2017, I just don't get into it. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised there's this much of an outcry on something like this. It just, maybe it's something I'm missing. Maybe there's something there that I'm not understanding with this article, why so many people are upset by it. I guess if I was at a station event, radio's weird. It's format by format. On a news talk station like KMOX, we have a higher standard when it comes to our appearance, when we're in public and the different things that we do, you know, as public figures. Now, if you go work at a rock station and, you know, you're playing the latest hard rock album, you know, you could be tattooed from toe to nose and you can go out there getting drunk at the bars and things. That's kind of like the appearance that you give when you're on air too. So it's a different style of appearance and approach that you take between different radio stations. And I know that the Department of Corrections, you have a higher standard. You're representing something that is through the state of Missouri, and you're also representing something that, you know, is a government agency. So there's other safeguards there. I just don't see this as the biggest deal. I just don't. I think they might be coming down too hard on this. Maybe someone could help me understand why this is a big deal. There might be something here when unions or whatever it is, but I'm not exactly sure. It makes me go back and think about all the different things that radio stations do. I mean, if you just go and look at the variety of radio stations and the things they post online anymore, it's funny because you can go through KMOX and you can see a lot of tame things. And then you can go to something that's like a more aggressive rock station or an urban station or something like that. And it's completely different in the things that they post when it comes to pictures. No modesty, lots of, you know, glorifying drinking and things like that. And it doesn't cross a line because it meets what their audience expects from them. I guess that's part of it. What do we as people of the state of Missouri expect from the Department of Corrections? Do we expect that there will be photos of them taken off the clock at a golf outing? It doesn't even show them drinking it. I guess if you're drinking in excess, it might be a little bit different. You know, also this hour, there's a few other things I wanted to get to. I was hoping Steve might call in. I didn't know if he'd be listening. I tweeted back to him, and this was something he's messaged me a couple of times in a row to cover here. There's another controversy when it comes to bakers. Here in the United States, we had the instance where this person owned a bakery. They were sued. They took it all the way up the Supreme Court. Now, the same thing happened in Ireland. A baker was sued. It went all the way up to their highest court. I want to talk about what happened in that case. And millennials are being blamed for declining American cheese sales. I don't know. I like American cheese. I eat it all the time. My kid will just take a slice of it right out of the packet. You know, you open up the single slice, the little plastic. He loves it. He'll just eat it. He had like cheese and sliced up apples today for part of his snack. I don't know. Maybe he eats like his dad, most likely. And the phone lines will stay open for you too. We only have about, you know, another hour and a half of the show for Overnight America until we go home for the weekend. We clock out wherever time, whatever time you clock out. You know, you can listen anytime you want. It's just the way we do things now. You can go back to KMOX.com and find it on Overnight America, KMOX. Keep things a little flexible here. So if you wanted to bring up a topic on the show, you can. We have the freedom to. Well, we got the freedom every night, but if you wanted to get off topic, we do that thing here. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Yeah, it could be fun. All right, so I found this online on Reddit, and I know producer Ben, wearing your red headphones over there. Is that why you picked Little Red Corvette, because your red headphones?
No.
Just pure coincidence.
Coincidence.
This was posted on Reddit. It is the Commuting on Highway 40 bingo. Did you see this bingo card posted on there?
No.
Okay.
But I'm interested.
Do you drive the highway on the way in, you and Stell?
Sometimes.
I'm going to, and you can only think over the last 2 weeks, so just the month of October. Let's see if we could get a bingo based on the things we see on the highway. So
All right. We're
just going to play a communal card. And it doesn't have to be Highway 40. It could be any highway across St. Louis. And if you guys want to play at home too, mark down in your mind mentally how many of these you would see on any given week. Number one, giant truck bullying cars for no reason.
No.
I haven't seen that too. Clearly texting while driving.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. Mercedes driving like a you-know-what.
Yes.
Okay. A vehicle absolutely will not let you merge and blank you for trying.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Observe an accident nearly occur.
No.
I see people get cut off, but there's a separate one for that. Lexus driving like a you-know-what.
No.
Motorcycle driving like a you-know-what.
Yes.
All the time. As much as I defend motorcycle driving, there's some people out there just asking to get hit the way they're driving so recklessly. You have to keep an eye out for motorcycles. You have to look twice, that the phrase, look twice, save a life. But I swear there's some people on motorcycles that have a death wish. They drive insane. Vehicles missing a bumper, fender, or any significant part of body damage.
Yes.
Yeah. Expired temporary tags.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Mark that 12 times. Person with Blue Lives Matter sticker driving like you know what.
Yes.
Oh. Audi driving like you know what. They just have to. I
have not.
Yeah. Person with a coexist or similar peace sticker driving like you know what. Okay. This is a free space, but merging, passing with no blinker. Well, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I see that probably every 3 minutes on the highways here in St. Louis. Observe an accident actually happen. Can't say I've actually seen one.
No, not in the last 2 weeks.
For all the terrible driving we have, we're pretty much on the same boat. Like, we're almost on the same page when it comes to we just expect these things to happen. And I will give MoDOT huge credit. Anytime I've seen someone on the side of the road after an accident, they are like lightning quick to get out there and clean it up. Okay, so driver behind you slams on brakes and swerves onto shoulder due to following you too closely.
No.
Person with a 99.1 Joy FM sticker driving like a you-know-what.
Yes. Yes. Like 8 times. Yes.
There's a whole group online of people that post photos of that bumper sticker and them
bad
doing things
Joy
they shouldn't.
FM drivers.
Yeah, and they'll show them like parked up on almost the curb in handicapped places where they shouldn't be driving in place. I think it's funny. A BMW driving like a you know what?
No.
Plastic bag covering at least one window.
Yes.
Yes. Vehicle driving the exact same speed parallel to your vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah. Crossing 3 lanes to merge onto 270 seconds before the exit.
Yes.
All the time. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. This is just in a couple weeks. Expired license plate.
Yes.
Our first bingo.
Woo!
Crossing the solid lines to merge. Oh, I see that all the time. Driving visibly smoking weed, drinking on the way home.
No.
Okay. Traffic slows down for no reason whatsoever.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is St. Louis. It's like common.
Horrendous driver with Illinois plates that you wish would just work on their own state.
Yes.
Can you believe it? All the things we crossed off, we only have two bingos. Two bingos. And it's the long way going from east to west over here. Is there any other ones that I missed? No, no four corners, no vertical, only two horizontal bingos. As much as we crossed off, I'm surprised. And it wasn't until the last one we're able to pick it up. If this was extended out past just the last couple of weeks instead of just October, I might have been able to cross every one of these off, every single one. We have some of the worst drivers. Worst drivers. And even driving at night. Some of the things I see when there's no one on the road, number one, it's easy to lose track of what you're doing. Because if you're just driving and there's no one else out, you're speeding, don't even know it. The speed limits are too low here in St. Louis. But the reason for it is it's made up because everyone drives crazy, so they have to put it lower. Plus, you have so many people jammed in there driving like crazy. I get it. In the highways, they're almost like they couldn't draw a straight line if you save their lives. They're like left and right and swerve, swerve, swerve.
You weren't here when 270 had the varying speed limit.
No.
They actually had digital signs, and they changed the speed limit from 40 miles an hour to 70 miles an hour throughout the day.
40?
Yeah.
Like during the day when it's heavy traffic, it was 40? Yep. Now it's 60 on 270. No, what is it?
They got rid of it and just made it one standard, but they tried it for a year and a half.
Is it 60 there? Pretty much all the highways are like
now.
55 or 60 and wherever it is. You got to be careful. Sometimes when I'm driving at night, you'll see cops every once in a while. As long as you're not doing over 10, I find like you're pretty safe. I normally do right around that 5 over limit. But man, when it's the speed limit's 55 and you're doing 60, it feels like you're going so slow. I'm used to Michigan where the speed limit's 70 and you can get away with 85. Or same thing happens in a lot of other states I lived in. Indiana, not so much. Michigan's probably the best example. You could pretty much name your own speed limit. You see those name your own price commercials for insurance or whatever it is, you could name your own speed limit in Michigan. But here it's completely different. But what you don't see is when I drive into work, it's at night I see cars and I see cops normally two times a week. You can't really predict when they're going to be out. And that's why you got to, you know, make sure you're not going crazy or anything like that. But on the way in, I don't see any police officers during rush hour. It's almost like they're all responding to crashes or something like that and helping people on the side of the road. But I see people going nuts. Let's say the speed limit is 55. I'll see regularly 70 is somewhat slow. You see people going 80 plus. You think, man, that's crazy. And then you don't, the temporary tags, man, that's a guarantee you're going to see someone with a temporary tag flapping in the wind. Charlie Brennan's really good at that. Charlie is someone that will encourage you to take a picture of it and message it to him. And if you follow Charlie on Twitter, it's just his feed is full of retweets of people sending him pictures of expired tags. We got some problems. We got a lot of problems we need to deal with here in St. Louis. You know, trying to crack down on speeders might not be the worst problem we need to face, and that's fine. You know, as long as you don't cause an accident. But the way everyone drives is insane. It does drive me a little bit crazy when you see an out-of-state plate driving nuts. You're like, no, that's only for us. We're only allowed to do that here. I only see Missouri plates driving crazy. If I see an Illinois plate driving crazy, no, get on your side of the river. I feel exactly like that. Or you see someone down south driving where they're a lot more courteous on the roadways. You see someone from Virginia, and they're following the rules of the road. Oh, I got to do the speed limit. I went to Virginia once, and someone told me that on the highway, there was a big accident, closed up the highway. Finally, they cleaned up the accident. The road became open again. And of the four lanes, three of them were moving. The fourth one wasn't. And they found out the reason the fourth one wasn't moving, even after the accident was cleared and the highway was open, was because the old lady in the front fell asleep. And the people behind them were too courteous to honk at her. They'd show too much courtesy on the roadway. What do you think would happen here in St. Louis? A highway opens up, old lady stuck in the front, and it's not moving. Whew, I don't want to know what would happen here in St. Louis. Completely different. Oh, yeah, they wouldn't just push it out of the way. They'd flip it out of the way. They'd go out of their way to find a way to flip it upside down out of the way. Yeah, little old lady doesn't even know what was coming to her. But that is commuting on the Highway 40 bingo, but we can really apply that on any other highway across the St. Louis. I don't know who did this. I don't know what user created this, but I think it's hilarious. So whoever did that, kudos to you. I think that's hilarious. 314-436-7900 is the number. Maybe you can talk about some of the old things you've seen on the highway. What's the craziest thing you've seen driving around St. Louis? Well, maybe you're not in the St. Louis region. We reach a large audience here that are people driving on the road right now. You see anything absolutely nuts on the roadway that you just no one would believe you saw? I'd be curious of some of those stories if you want to call in. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, here we are again. About an hour or so left until it is officially the weekend. Not to brag or anything, but I am bragging. It does feel pretty good to reach this point. There is another baker story out there, and this is out of Ireland. This is something that has also been fought on different levels, mostly because you hear about here in the United States where the situation is, should a baker be forced to create a cake with a message on it they disagree with religiously, on a religious standpoint, I guess. So does a person have a constitutional right to force a baker to create a cake for them? And essentially, it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And some of the big findings of the Supreme Court was that just like baking a cake, it takes skill. It takes some artistic direction. It takes decorating, all of these things. You can't really force someone to do something artistically speaking, and they have the ability to turn it down, just like anything else. In whatever field you're in, or if you are an artist, you're not forced to write a song for something you disagree with because the person's willing to pay you money for it. If you're an artist and you're a painter, shouldn't be required by law under punishment of jail to create and commission art pieces of things you disagree with. And on a religious standpoint, that's very important to a lot of people. And now we're seeing out of Ireland something very similar. Christian owners in a Northern Ireland bakery have won their appeal at the highest court in Ireland in a so-called gay cake discrimination case. The UK's highest court ruled that the Asher's Bakery refusal to make a cake with a slogan supporting same-sex marriage was not discriminatory. And this is a good thing. Five justices on their Supreme Court unanimously put their judgment this way. So it was a gay rights activist by the name of Gareth Lee, was the customer. And a lot of times with these court cases, you find that they are specifically trying to target Christians, knowing that they don't want to compromise their religious beliefs. So the only reason that person was in there was to try to drum up a lawsuit. That's pretty common. That happened in Denver, here in the United States, that we saw with the Baker case as well. There really isn't an intention to go through or want the service. They're just looking for people they can test this at, and so they can take it through the courts and maybe gain some social points or whatever it may be. So the gay right activist went inside of this bakery, insisted of putting this gay cake together, and it was a picture of Bert and Ernie that says, "Support gay marriage, queer since born 1998. That's what it says on the picture that the person they wanted the bakers to say. It says, "The legal battle, which has lasted 4.5 years and has cost nearly, and I'm putting this in U.S. dollars, $661,000 to defend themselves, has raised a lot of questions about equality and freedom of conscience." Now, if it wasn't for these bakers defending themselves and giving up, what if this just became the law of the land, which was if someone has anything, if they come to you and you object to it, you have no rights to object to what someone else's belief system is. That is pretty dangerous, I think. And part of this is you have the owners, the bakers, that are trying to run a business, and they defend their reasoning, which is, we didn't turn them down because of the person. We turned it down because of the message of what they wanted on the cake. And that's where they have their own freedoms that they should be able to defend. And that's what the High Court in Ireland put up there. Well, I guess in the UK, but I know a lot of people, they say, will be glad to hear this ruling today because this ruling protects freedom of speech and freedom of conscience for everyone. And they were talking outside of the court. Here is an audio clip of them after their big win.
"We're particularly pleased the Supreme Court emphatically accepted what we've said all along. We did not turn down this order because of the person who made it, but because of the message itself. The judges have given a clear signal today. In fact, it couldn't be clearer. Family businesses like ours are free to focus on giving all their customers the best service they can without being forced to promote other people's campaigns."
Without being forced to endorse other people's campaigns. It goes back to the argument of compelled speech. So should the government compel you to say and do things that go against your own religious objections? You know, let's say you are someone that highly objects to whatever. And they say, well, we're going to punish you, either fine you or jail you, unless you use this specific language in your works. That's compelled speech by a government, and that's pretty dangerous. Now, you can also look at the other side of it is, are they trying to use compelled speech to get you to go against your own faith, your own religious beliefs? That's dangerous, too. It's not to say that the person wouldn't have baked the cake. I think that these bakers made it pretty clear that they would make a bake. They would bake a cake for this person, but the message on top is what they wouldn't do. They would say, you're not compelling us. You shouldn't be able to use the government as a way to punish us for not complying with the forced speech that you want us to do. The Equality Commission of Northern Ireland, which has supported the activists that came in and tried to buy the cake to begin with, said that they would study the implications of the judgment carefully. This is a concern that this judgment may raise uncertainty about the application of equality law in the commercial sphere, both about what business can do and what customers may expect, is what the organization's officer said. I don't think this means they can't buy a cake. It just means they can't force someone to use the speech they want if they object to it. You can put this on different religions. It just doesn't have to be the Christian faith. I think there's a lot of religions that would object to something, and depending on what it is, I don't think you should be forcing them to do anything they don't want to do if it goes against what their faith is. I think that's a pretty standard freedom of religion pretty standard tenet of it. And here in the United States, we have to be extremely careful of it, mostly because what happens when the government is allowed to compel what happens inside the churches? You know, what if the government says, well, it's you have to do what anyone wants inside your own church. You can't say no to someone. What happens then? Where does the freedom of religion go? Or where does it start? Does it start where someone else finds it? Or does it start where you hold your faith? And that's where it starts. The family-run bakery has described the same-sex marriage slogan as inconsistent with their religious beliefs. I'm glad they decided to fight that. You know, when you get up words of, what was the total here? It was $661,722 to defend themselves and defend their faith. I'm sure there's other organizations that stepped in to help fund the cause, but good for them. Not everyone would go through that extreme measure. Here's another story. That's kind of food related. We were talking about cakes, and this is from Fox 2 News right here in St. Louis. American cheese has become a staple in a lot of different kitchens. I eat American cheese. I get the single slices. They're easy. You put them on the sandwiches. You make a grilled cheese. The kid loves to eat it just to eat it. You might put it on an omelet, right? You're doing like a cheese omelet or something. There's a lot of practical applications for cheese. I love it. However, they're blaming millennials for the declining American cheese sales. They all want the artisan cheese. Come on. You don't blame millennials for this because they have a different preference. It's not like, oh yeah, the burden of the millennials, they have to make sure the standard cheese is out there. No, it's kind of how the market dictates itself, right? If you go out to a restaurant and they give you an option of what you can have on a sandwich, like for me, I always do like provolone or Swiss if they have it because it's different. You like to have that, something different from the house. If you go out and eat exactly the same things you're eating in your house, what's the point of going out? So I like to try something differently. But in the house, we always have the Kraft singles. They're the best. So they say millennials aren't interested in buying or eating the processed cheese. They're too artisan anymore. Well, la-di-da. Maybe they just have an abundance of other choices to pick from, and there wasn't that always that choice. When I was growing up, I don't ever remember my parents even looking at a cheese section that didn't have the American cheese slices in it. Like my grandma used to buy a block of cheese, and she had this little cheese slicer, and she would slice off the cheese by herself. It looked like almost like a little pie flipper or whatever, like you would use to go get a slice of pie, except on the very bottom of it where the heel of the bend would be was a little, you know, it wasn't razor sharp, but it was a little slicer, and you just run it across the cheese, and that's how she would get her cheese. But I don't ever remember any of my parents ever buying anything other than yellow cheese, right? The American cheese. Chains such as Wendy's, Cracker Barrel, Panera Bread are either ditching American cheese or offering alternatives. I didn't know Wendy's offered alternatives other than Swiss. Is Swiss count as an alternative, I guess? A solid 40% of U.S. households still buy Kraft singles, but sales are flat and they're worried because that's down from, you know, World War II when everyone had it. So now go ahead, blame millennials for this too. No, forget it. Every time there's a problem in the market, blame millennials for not buying something they don't want to buy. That's so weird. I was listening to a podcast where Jay Leno was giving an interview about car companies. And he's a big car fanatic. And I was really struck by the way he put this out. And it's so simplistic and it makes so much sense. And he said, back when the United States started putting regulations on cars, Detroit complained. They complained. This is going to hurt. He said, you know what happened? He had Japan and companies like Toyota that said, okay, do you know what they did? Their engineers figured out a way to make it so they were in regulation. So instead of fighting it and catching and going behind in the trends, behind in the curves, you had other companies that went with the trends, with the curves, were able to do business. And guess what? Look where Toyota is right now. Look at some of the problems that happened in the Motor City with some of these car companies. Yeah, that struck me. That was pretty wise. I think every company can go through that. You got to realize if they're not buying the Kraft singles anymore, either complain and say it's millennials' fault, or you get with the times and you go where the product, where people actually want to purchase it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.